You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network, now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
Welcome. You are listening to and watching the Financial Survival Network. And I'm Carrie Lutz, and today is 3/29/21. Hedge funds are blowing up on Wall Street. As Nick Santiago says, they're like cockroaches. You might only see one, but there's thousands. And could that be the case with the disappearing hedge funds? Well, we're going to talk to John Rubino and find out more. We'd like to get your opinion of what you think about this shell game on Wall Street. Although Wall Street doesn't really exist anymore, it's just a screen drop, a backdrop for computer networks that run the world. Anyway, John Rubino is with us, dollarcollapse.com. Make sure you go there and subscribe to his newsletter. And John, so the Archegos fund is like going to be one for the archaeologists, right?
Hey, Carrie. Yeah, you know, a lot of stuff is blowing up lately. Just a couple of weeks ago, right, was that, I think it was a German finance company that specialized in some kind of short-term financing and turned out to be a big scam and cost everybody a ton of money. And now it's this hedge fund that had this, exotic derivative that let them take bigger than normally allowed positions in public companies without having to report that they'd taken those positions. So in other words, so they were able to use very serious leverage here, and they borrowed the money to do that from a lot of big banks. And they blew up. You know, it's not clear how that happened yet, but it's costing the banks a lot of money. Nomura, a big Japanese money center bank, is talking about $2 billion of losses because of this. And a lot of other banks are apparently on the hook for a lot of money too. You know, it's not clear whether this is the kind of thing that will reverberate beyond the guys who have to eat the losses, but it's not clear that it isn't either. So we have to watch this to see how it goes. But this is another one of those things that happens at the top of bubbles, the peak of bubbles, when everybody is able to get funding for doing really exotic envelope pushing things because so much money is out there and it has to go somewhere. So why not lend to this hedge fund that's made all this money in the past, even if they're doing things that we don't really understand? You know, that's the kind of thing that's going on now. And, you know, to the extent that it's starting to blow up, that's one of those limiting factors that comes into play towards the peak of a bubble. But, you know, against that now, we've got governments that aren't done financing everything in sight. The U.S., if I understood this correctly, what I saw this morning was that President Biden has another stimulus plan in the works that he's going to bring out this week or next week that will come before the infrastructure plan that is also in the pipeline that they're arguing about the size of. You know, the further left you go in the Democrat Party, the bigger number they want. But nobody really in the Democrat Party is opposed to a really big number. So it could be like $4 trillion or so. And that's going to come after another stimulus plan in addition to the one they just sent the checks out for last week. So you take all that and dump it into the system, and it's unlikely that any given hedge fund blowing up can derail the whole thing because everybody has so much more money to paper over whatever hole that a hedge fund blowing up blows in their balance sheet. You know, I think this is going to be one of those things that is notable, but not super consequential because the money spigot is still just open wide. So as long as that's going on, the big risks are in interest rates and currency values, not individual companies blowing up, because you can paper over individual companies, but you cannot paper over a 10-year yield that pierces the two handle and heads for the three handle. Although there are people predicting that, you know, with all this money coming into the system, even a 3-year yield on the 10-year treasury will not blow things up. So, you know, it's going to be interesting. We don't know how this is going to play out. But we know that all the money that they're dumping into the system is going to further distort normal functioning in the financial markets until it stops.
Yeah. Yep. And it's going to further distort. I mean, these markets are not running properly. When you look at all the professionals, the guys who've made billions off of speculating on these markets, John, they all say the same, that something is seriously broken and there's no desire to fix it anywhere. Nobody's trying to do anything. And the Republicans, the voice of fiscal sanity, they're nowhere to be heard. They're like crickets. But they'll be there at the end when it blows up and say, oh, yeah, you know, we told you this was going to happen. But the fact is that Biden's just continuing the Trump administration policies. There's no difference here, except maybe the scale's a little more grandiose. Maybe there's more money heading to slush funds from, you know, from basically Democrat party favorites. But if it's not one party's slush fund, then it's the other, right?
Well, yeah, you know, the we have to remember that the stimulus plan that was just put into place this last week was basically Trump's plan. You know, that's what he was calling for, more or less. And the Democrats managed to hold it off until they got into power so they could take credit for it. But it was Trump's plan. So he was talking about a big infrastructure plan, too. So he was going to spend comparable amounts of money to what the Democrats are going to spend. So, yeah, you know, the Republicans have absolutely no claim on fiscal conservatism, basically since the days of Ronald Reagan. You know, ever since then, they've basically just been Democrat light when it came to spending programs. You know, they were in favor of the program, but maybe they would try to pay for some little bit of it, or they'd scale back the part of it that goes to the poorest people, you know, something like that. But they were basically in favor of big spending programs ever since most people currently in the financial markets were children. So nobody is trying to restrain any of this right now. And the loudest voices are calling for turbocharging the process. So, you know, if this isn't the blow off top, as far as fiscal and monetary policy goes, then my God, what's going to come after this? Because the human race has never seen anything like this. Yeah. The things that caused the biggest bubbles in prior history to blow up were minuscule compared to this. So this is just new uncharted territory, which means the consequences might be uncharted territory too. So buy gold, buy farmland, get out of there and just watch this from a safe distance. That's all we have left to do now.
Yeah, but there is no safe distance. And, you know, this is, I think it's it could easily be the start of another dark ages, honestly, John.
Yeah, it's very possible. We could screw things up to the point where there just is no fix. And so you get monetary chaos and fiscal chaos, civil unrest, very probably some kind of war out there all happening at once, along with, you know, pandemics, natural disasters, the things that usually come when you can't handle anything else, you know, and something like that shows up. So all of that could very easily arrive in the next 10 years. And future historians could look back on that period as kind of a dark age. So yeah, I mean, we're making mistakes on a scale that make it possible to talk about something like this with a straight face, because you know, there's really no part of our society that is healthy right now. And I'm talking global society. It's not just the U.S. You know, we're screwing up on a vast scale, but most of the other big countries are doing their version on a similar scale. And who knows? You know, there's just no way to know how this plays out. I will say, though, that Bill Gates thinks farmland is a safe haven. You know, he's now the biggest owner of farmland in the country. You know, this semi-autistic techie who might not have ever been to a farm in his life.
John, do not insult autistic people, okay?
And I'm
equating them with Bill Gates. I think sociopaths are more like it.
Okay, and I don't want to get you kicked off of YouTube or anything. Yeah, which that might be done. Sorry about that. Yeah,
we're very sympathetic to people like that.
Hey, Carrie. Speaking of sociopaths, I'm sorry to interrupt. When we were setting this up, we didn't mention Jeff Bezos, but we really should with the unionization drive that's going on there.
Yeah, Bezos, who's a man of the people, is fighting unionization. I don't remember. I think it was in Alabama or in
Alabama.
Alabama. And, you know, they're doing like every trick that the liberal media used to call out big business for doing, you know, saying we're going to lay you off, we're going to fire, we're going to close the facility, and doing all these things that they're not allowed to. And the Biden administration, which is the gatekeeper and the protector of worker rights, it's crickets over there, John. How is that? How can that be?
Don't just survive, thrive. The Financial Survival Network.
Goldterra Resource Corp is a gold exploration company that has assembled a highly prospective district-scale land position on the doorstep of the city of Yellowknife in Canada's Northwest Territories. Goldterra is currently focused on expanding and delineating gold resources at the company's Yellowknife City Gold Project, with a goal of discovering over 5 million ounces. With ready access to infrastructure and multiple high-grade gold discoveries, Goldterra is on track to re-establishing Yellowknife as one of the premier gold mining districts in Canada. Goldterra trades as YGT in Toronto and YGTFF on the OTC. For more information, go to goldterracorp.com. That's goldterracorp.com.
This is the Financial Survival Network, the information you need to thrive now more than ever.
I actually think Biden did come out in favor of the unions being able to form for Amazon. But yeah, he's not in the streets or anything. Bernie Sanders is there on site. And this guy named Magic Mike, who I'd never heard of before, that made a brilliant speech. Or was it Killer Mike? Something like that. You know, some a rapper sounding name. I don't know the guy in any way other than his YouTube video, which was Martin Luther King level powerful, you know? So that's in my this week's top 10 video list. But anyhow, Jeff Bezos has turned into a classic robber baron here right in front of our eyes. And the guy started out as basically, you know, a long time ago, he was a good guy. He was trying to improve on the concept of big box stores by delivering stuff to us so we didn't have to go out, you know? And that was a good thing at one time. But now he's taken it so far beyond its logical conclusion by basically enslaving his workers, you know, who have nowhere else to go. Remember, it's not like there's a downtown where they can go work anymore in most of these towns because everybody's buying stuff on Amazon. So they're not going to their local mom and pop stores anymore. So he's got a captive audience, and apparently he's abusing the hell out of them. You know, the latest thing was that you're not allowed to go to the bathroom or something. And yeah. You're supposed to fire a bottle. And Bezos said, oh, that's not true. Come on, where are you hearing this? And then everybody started showing up with proof that it is true. So, you know, next thing you know, he'll be sending the Pinkertons in with clubs to beat up the strikers if they go on strike. And, you know, this again is end of cycle stuff where the rich get so powerful and feel like they're so untouchable that they turn into an aristocracy in you know, all but name. These guys just don't believe the rules apply to them anymore. And there's a rebellion brewing now. So it's either going to be the government applying antitrust rules to these guys and breaking them up, and wealth taxes and capital controls, et cetera, to try to expropriate some of these fortunes. Or, you know, the people are just going to rise up. There's going to be mass civil unrest and strikes everywhere for much higher wages. And, you know, Amazon is vulnerable to this because they've got all these warehouses out there. So if all their warehouses do a coordinated strike, they're frozen. You know, they're a paralyzed company. And they're going to find out what, like the automakers found out years and years ago, that, you know, a strike can be devastating because if you can't sell your stuff, you can't make any money. And if you can't make any money, you can't pay massive year-end bonuses to your CEO. And so we can't have that happen. So, you know.
God forbid, if you can't pay bonuses, then the company should shut its doors, John.
Well, that's the end of the world for these guys, you know, because they've already spent, at least a lot of corporate executives have already spent their year-end bonuses for this year. So you take that away and all of a sudden there's a lot of Hamptons houses and London penthouses being repossessed, which would be just, you know, poetic justice. It would be fun to watch.
Yeah, well, now you saw that the new trend in New York City, which has been decimated by riots, by taxes, by COVID, by idiotic, moronic, sociopathic leadership, comrades de Blasio and comrade Cuomo. Now people are like upgrading their houses because housing prices have gone down so much. They're upgrading condos, and there's been a big rush on luxury condos in New York. So you just never can tell.
You never can. You know, there's a funny side story to this. I want to say Vanity Fair, where this article just appeared, about the Hamptons. I think it's the Hamptons, which is where New Yorkers go for summer vacation. And there's a local population that lives there, and they cater to the rich tourists for part of the year, and then they live normal lives for the other part of the year on the money they made from the tourists. But during the pandemic, huge numbers of people moved out of New York and started living all year long at the Hamptons. So now that you can't book a tennis court now, or get riding lessons for your kids, now they're all booked, and the local groups, the local online groups that used to be for the local people to kind of share ideas about how to live in a tourist town. Now they're full of New Yorkers saying, hey, do you know anybody who can come over and sew on a button? It's like all these rich people who have no idea how to live normal lives. And
change a light bulb for me, please.
Yeah.
Can you send a crew in to change a light bulb? Because they're clueless. They don't.
It sounds like it's that bad. Yeah.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Well, the Hamptons has turned into a year-round community, which, like you said, it never was. I used to have a house out there many years ago. And even the supermarkets wouldn't stock large inventory in the winter because no one was there. They stocked large inventory in the summer when all of the summer residents were there. And all of a sudden, the supermarket shelves were empty. The everything, like I was out there visiting some friends, and this park, it was winter, was normally empty, and this place was packed with people with their kids, going on the merry-go-round and all that stuff. I mean, I never saw anything like it. It's gone to a year-round resort, and the local yokels, as we used to call them, don't like it one bit because, they were very content to make a living off these people during the summer months. And then just kind of relax and do nothing for the next 6 months till summer began again. It's all changed now. And that's just another aspect of the changing world. Now you have to put up with obnoxious New Yorkers 12 months a year, and you don't necessarily want to. Hey, finally, we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that the trial of the police officer who had his foot on George Floyd's neck is beginning. That's probably going to lead to additional social unrest there. How can the guy get a fair trial if the jury knows that if they acquit him, there's going to be massive rioting in Minneapolis, even though they are now refunding the police, John, both in LA and in Minneapolis. They're increasing the police budget again because it just didn't work out because people just can't live without the police.
Well, that was a quick lesson, wasn't it? It didn't take us years and years to figure out that that just taking money away from the police isn't the way to reform the police. There may be some practices that need to be dealt with, but you got to still have cars in the street, police cars in the street, guys on the beat and everything, or else crime spikes, go figure. But there are all these funny scenes now of these town councils, where they voted to defund the police, and they were, really brutal in their rhetoric and everything. And, they were total Antifa, total Black Lives Matter partisans. And now 6 months later, they're like, well, what happened? Why are there all these murders? Why aren't the police responding on time like they're supposed to? Okay. It's nice when we get an answer to something that we're trying really quickly this way. So this kind of feedback basically told everybody that, there may be policing practices that need to be dealt with, but doing away with the police is not the way to bring about a utopia, because they exist for a reason, because this is, it's not them causing crime. There are predators in every society, and the people standing between us and them are the cops, you know, and
unfortunately,
cannot get rid of them. Yeah.
Unfortunately, the super predators are the ones actually running the government, and the police, it's just beyond their ability to get rid of them to address that issue. But yes, it's just proof, John. You know what it proves? You can teach a liberal new tricks, because, you know, if you cut the police down, and believe me, I have, my issue isn't so much with cops. My issue is with the management of police. It's so inefficient. It's so poorly done. They waste so much time. In New York City, my friend, his brother became a cop and he wanted to do the right thing, but his partner had been on the job 20 years, said, no, you know, like from 12 to 4 in the evening, we're going to just go stay in the Fordham University gym and sleep on a couple of cots for 4 hours. And if something happens and we get a radio call, then we'll go out there and do it. But this is just typical. They're poorly run in these big cities, poorly managed. And then, you know, God forbid the cop arrests a criminal, he's off the beat for the entire day. It's a miracle that any of them ever get caught. What we need is better management of these police forces and better use of technology so that they don't have to spend half a day writing reports on a guy that they arrested for public urination. You know, this is the problem here. It's the same way in the courts that are supposed to manage the flow of criminals and send the really bad ones to jail and find other things to do with the ones who can be helped. The whole system is a wreck, and that's what needs to be addressed. You know, not defunding them. That is not the solution. Sending social workers when some guy has a shotgun and is blowing up the neighborhood. I think you have to have force. It's a necessary evil, but you got to have efficient and, I guess, reasonable force. And it's often the cops are fighting a losing battle. I understand their frustration, but you can't take it out on the criminals as much as you'd like to. In any event, that's it for today. Go over to John's site, which is dollarcollapse.com. Sign up for his newsletter. Ours is also available for free at financialsurvivalnetwork.com. We will be back next Monday. And no doubt, John, the stories will only get wilder.
No doubt, Carrie. Talk to you next week.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.